nuance isn't available. What I find really interesting is it's about now understanding why.
Imam, what do you think the state of the world is right now? Like, where are we? What's going on?
So I think we have to start small. Talk about England first. My biggest issue is the culture wars, which technically has been a thing that has been going on for a very long time, but we've now just given it a name. So I think it's just about understanding that particular dynamic in terms of dominance.
What do you mean by culture wars, as in, you know, the suppression of women and now?
No, I'd say the war of attrition between left and right. That's what I mean.
That's one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you, because, you know, we have quite capitalist type views. And I know a lot of people don't really like the capital system. Anyway, carry on. So culture wars, extreme left and right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think this is the kind of typical dynamic we find manifesting itself throughout the world, which leads to certain dynamics that you are probably referring to in terms of issues, etc. So I think it's just about starting small. You have to start at the root, and then you can build up. So that's probably how I would answer that question. You have to start small, and I'd say one of our biggest issues in England is this war of attrition between left and right. And there has always been a war of attrition, but now it is. Everything that I said has become weaponized. Everything.
Toxic masculinity.
Everything.
That's a weapon, isn't it?
Right. Everything's been. See, I love the fact you just said that. Toxic.
I mean, what is a toxic man? A man who builds a bridge and a man who rescues a cat out of a burning building. I mean, narcissism, and everyone's a narcissist. I mean, what?
Yes.
What? Weaponizing language.
Yes. And I just to touch on your point in terms of toxic masculinity, I feel like, for me personally, there is nothing worse. Because I'm a strong woman, I attract weak men. And so my kind of perspective and frame of reference isn't necessarily aligned with the left. It actually is probably more so aligned with the right, which is man the fuck up. Why are you weak? And so if you are not going to match me in terms of dominance, then therefore I'm going to take the piss out of you. I'm just going to literally carry your balls in my purse for a very long time, right? But that's the truth. So I need you to man up. But then the man up is toxic masculinity. But that's what I need as a woman, as a dominant woman, as a strong woman. That's what I need. So it's interesting that we can weaponize things that can be very true for certain individuals.
Do you know what? This is really fascinating. So what do women want in a man now? And what is a man? Because like you said, you know, we tell the men to man up.
Yeah.
So we man up. And then we're accused of being... We try.
Okay,
My balls are not in your purse. I can tell you that.
But are they in your wife's purse? Yeah. That's a different conversation, right?
Yeah.
If I was to see her with your wife, she might have a different conversation to
Well, yeah, to her Rolexes and her Aston Martins might say something different.
Thank you.
But so, you know, we're told to man up and be strong and be brave. So we're strong and brave and we don't express ourselves. And then we're told to be vulnerable and express yourself. And it's like...
Because it's the balance, Rob. And this is what I mean by this.
Imagine trying to be a kid growing up trying to be a man now.
I know. And this is why they will gravitate towards people such as Jordan Peterson and
Andrew Tate. Because there's all these lost men with no father figure in their life.
Yes.
Is that... Yeah.
And it's... One, no father figure. I think that's just one of the kind of factors. I think there's many, in all fairness. I think in terms of human beings, we are all governed by low self-esteem and ego.
Right.
Right? Which are technically the antithesis of one another.
Yeah.
And it actually connects to what I'm talking about in terms of this war of attrition, in terms of everything being polarized and everything has to be opposite.
Right.
And there is very little room in the media space for nuance and balance. And this is why I'm very glad to be able to talk what I want to talk, because I am talking about balance and nuance, which is a part of the conversation that has been forgotten.
Yeah, it doesn't sell newspapers and media, does it?
That
people
doesn't.
want no real context. And, you know, the sound bites you get on TikTok, you know, things that are edited down. And like you said, you lose the nuance of a 3-hour conversation.
And then, sorry to cut you.
No,
I just wanted to add to
please.
That.
Please. This is not the Piers Morgan show.
You can
speak as much as you like. Piers!
I know!
Let them speak, Piers.
I'm apologizing a lot, and I'm going to get into it. I'll stop apologizing. You know, thank you, Rob. I'll say thank you because I'm that type of woman. But in terms of just kind of understanding dynamics, it's just really important to understand that this kind of polarization is why we are having the issues that we have. And this is why we are stuck in this kind of vortex, this vicious cycle, because nuance isn't available. Now, what I find really interesting is it's about now understanding why. So I'm saying categorically nuance isn't available. I've tried to enter this space to offer nuance and balance. But why isn't it there? And you've just stated it, because people want quick things on TikTok. And so I was having this discussion, ironically, with Esther from Talk TV, another regular on Piers Morgan's show. And Manel, a producer, and we was talking about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And it's, is the media trying to appease the audience? You see what I'm trying? This is what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
are the media trying to they're going with what the audience, they think the audience wants, and so therefore they are just kind of negating balance, or is it the audience actually doesn't want balance, and therefore, so it's what came first, the chicken or the egg?
It's like the algorithms.
Right?
Are the algorithms giving us what we tell it wants?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Have we become a slave to it?
Perfect parallel. That was the parallel I was looking for. Thank you.
Because we talk about this a lot, Harry and I, and his balls are definitely in his girlfriend's, wherever she stores your balls.
But that's not fair, because Harry has to defend himself. So
Harry,
you stated that. Hopefully Harry at the end can tell us where his balls lie. But
Harry
you, Rob, have said his balls are lying with his girlfriend.
Harry doesn't care.
Let's be fair.
Care.
I like Harry. Let's be fair.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. Of course you have, Harry. Yeah.
But I think that's a typical dynamic with men and women, depending on how kind of that dynamic. Again, it is that dynamic that people would say is outdated, antiquated.
So what is a
man and woman, right?
What is a man?
I would say leading off of basic instinct, because that is all human beings. We are at the core. It's just understanding our basic instincts. And I do this a lot. I genuinely think basic instinct is to protect. That is the standard of man. That is at the core of any man. I think any man who is conscious of that intuition, any man that is conscious of societal needs, a woman's needs, will tap into that.
Yeah.
To protect. And anything less than that, you're a bitch. I'll be honest, it's the truth. This is what I'd say to my friends, you're a bitch. I'm talking to you right now, in my room, Rob. I'm chilling with my wine. This is flavored water and my cigarette and whatever else. And we're having a reasoning. That's what we call it, a reasoning. And I would say that man is a bitch. He's a bitch.
Right.
And that doesn't fit into societal norms and the way that we currently explain ourselves. So I have to be
conscious
of that.
Is this the fault of men, or is this the fault of women? Have women become too independent? I don't need a man. And
I think it's a combination of the two, again, talking about balance. In terms of your last point about I don't need a man and this kind of fierce, strong independence.
I mean, the world would be pretty fucked without proper men, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can reproduce.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's that weird kind of interesting dichotomy of just understanding that I truly believe men instinctively are supposed to protect. And so therefore that can look and manifest itself in many different ways. Women, I think, can be all versions. The reason why is because they are emotional human beings. And so I personally believe we tend to vacillate on that spectrum. So let's just say you've got masculine energy here and you've got feminine energy here. I think the dynamic for men and women are we are supposed to vacillate between the two, right? As a man, you are supposed to find your masculine energy when appropriate, situation dependent.
Yeah.
Because
nuance.
If you get it wrong, you're a bitch. And then and then you need to find your feminine energy, right? When connecting, I need you to listen. I need you to empathize. You might need to hold my hand when I'm crying. That's your feminine energy. And without that, how do you connect with your partner? How do you connect with your wife? Right? Yeah. So it's these, for me, men genuinely are supposed to protect. And I always bring it back to that is their foundation. Women, we are also protectors because we have children, we bear children, yeah, etc. But because we are emotional, we tend to vacillate throughout all the different kind of parts of the spectrum. And yeah, we can go from really feminine to really masculine. Right. And I have to find my balance. Yeah. Because just to touch on the point about a man, does a man want a woman who's going to tell him, you know, those shoes aren't great, or that t-shirt isn't smart enough, or you should be wearing a tie, or it's she my dominance. Try. But she can try.
But once she's given me my balls back, I'll tell her exactly.
But this is the point, right? But this is the point you're saying in terms of why women are, why has it gotten to this point where women are now fiercely independent? I'm trying to say that it's a combination of a lack over there on your side, yeah, and maybe a lack over here on our side. And yeah, we have now had to circumnavigate that situation, that dynamic, yeah, and be strong as a result. Because your man is a bitch, or your man doesn't empathize, or your man waits for you to give him back his balls as opposed to taking your motherfucking purse and taking them back. In fact, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. But that's the point, right? I'm hoping you get where I'm going with this.
I'm already really enjoying this conversation. Okay, so, okay. What about now then, this gender ideology?
Yeah.
You know, and we've got, I mean, I've had Caitlyn Jenner on the show. I'm trying to discuss these things openly and be open-minded. You know, I think about my son and daughter who are 9 and 12 and being at school and all the various different genders there are. And like, how did we get here with all this identity politics? I mean, was it Jordan Peterson when he, you know, I will not be forced to say they, or how did we evolve into, I tell you what, I'm a man, but like, I'm innocent of this crime. Oh no, put me in a prison with a woman because, and then he goes and rapes all these women in a woman's prison because he makes out he's a man, or all these men who are kicking women's ass in sport because they've got testosterone. Do you see?
I'm
unusually long-winded.
No, I'm fully following you. Genuinely. All right. So where do we begin with that first? Why, you asked, why the pendulum has swung the other way. That's actually a term that peers use. And I thought, oh, I'm going to take that. He's taken a couple of mine. You don't realize. I'll say that. I think he's taken a couple of mine. I genuinely believe I've influenced him. That's an aside, a complete tangent. But yes, the pendulum has swung the other way. So in terms of dominance, right? Who is ruling the world? Who governs us? Who sets the norms? Who sets our behaviors, our standards? It's the average white man. Right. It is his ideologies, it is his beliefs, it is his norms, it is his thoughts, it is his behaviors that affect us all. This is why Mars is here with the Black Queen, right? Because it is the white man, let's be honest with ourselves, in terms of history, we can go down that route a little bit later on, but in terms of history, they are the ones that dominate. I learned something recently. I did a speech at debating speech at Cambridge, hence why I was at Cambridge Union Debating Society. And it's so interesting, we was talking about the Commonwealth. And one of the things I wanted to put in there was something that I learned, but I thought, oh, these are really smart kids that probably learn Latin. I didn't learn Latin, so I'm not gonna use this term, but I'm gonna use it for you because I don't think you've learned Latin, so I'm going to say it. Desire to dominate in Latin means libido dominandi, all right? So in Latin, libido dominandi means desire to dominate, which is a natural human trait that every single human being on this planet has.
Even women,
yeah, men, etc., etc. In modern day terms, when we think about race relations, that term is now referred to as white supremacy. Right. But in actual fact, it's just the desire to dominate, which everyone is capable of, right? And so in terms of that pendulum swinging, It went from the white man dominating to all the marginalized communities, which has now fueled something that we now refer to as the culture wars. But the culture wars always existed. It's just that the pendulum was on your side. Mm. You didn't realize there was a war of attrition. There always was. There, it feels it. It resonates with you in this moment because the pendulum has swung the other way. Now you've got black people talking about racism. Now you've got they, she, he, whatever pronouns they've got at the moment. They've got all these types of genders. They've all of these things that just weren't your norm. So that is what's happening right now. The pendulum has swung the other way.
Right.
People are now...
And is that the middle-aged? Is that the middle-aged white man's fault?
No, it's natural human dynamic.
Right.
Right. So think about something. Just think about it logically. Yeah. If you have, okay, how do I put it? All right, let's just put it in terms of empires. Right. Mm. We talk about empires a lot, and it's a slight tangent. Hopefully, you can remember what I'm saying, just in case if I lose my train of thought. But just to try to put it into kind of parallel, everyone has their time.
Like the Romans did, like the British did.
Okay.
Like so America, who've got the...
Slavery, yeah. The slave trade can be traced back to 400 BC with the Greeks. With the Greeks.
Right.
And then we went to...
So it wasn't
the
just
Romans.
British
then colonial, we went to the Romans. Then we went to the Vikings. Sorry, in fact, there's so many different empires. It was Romans, we've got Vikings, we've got the Arab slave trade, we've got the Mongol slave trade, and we've got the Mali slave trade, which is the black West Africans before slavery. In fact, Mansa Musa, the richest person to ever live, who was worth 400 billion, was the empire of the leader of the Mali Empire, who used to enslave. And this is before slavery. So slavery has always existed, empires have always existed, but moral of the tale was, your time will end. There is an expiry date on everything. Think like food. You buy food, it's ready to go, and it will eventually come to an end. It will perish. And that's what I believe is happening in terms of our dynamic. It is no one's fault. It is just a natural dynamic of human beings. And it is only when you take into consideration history and context where you are able to understand that fully. And without those two things, it just feels like a hot mess.
Mm. And so do you think where we are in history right now, do you think it's a good place compared to where we've been?
100%. I'd be a complete fool if I didn't think that.
Is that because you feel you've been suppressed or marginalized for a long time and now you have more of a voice?
1,000,000%, that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say there has been huge progression. Obviously, we're not going to touch on history from the 15th century till now, but what I can say, there has been huge progression. Mm. One of the biggest things, I think the main salient point, is what happened after Black Lives Matter and this kind of new sense of awareness and consciousness. But then one could argue that that is what has led to this kind of pushback from the marginalized communities. And just to kind of finalize the original point, you touched on everything being extreme, and you were actually referring to the transgender person in the prison, raping, etc. That, right? Mm. What I also wanted to say is we have now conflated these issues. So what we have is two separate issues. So, for example, racism and anti-racism is one issue. Woke extremism is another. So let's be clear on woke. Woke means simply to be alive to social injustices. That's all it means. You're woke. Harry's woke. I'm woke. The bartender's woke. The receptionist is woke. Anyone who has a moral decency is woke. What has happened? It has become weaponized. And it is now been conflated with social issues. And so what you refer to in terms of the prison, that is woke extremism, where people are virtue signaling. That's a whole other conversation. Well, but that's a byproduct of this dynamic,
virtue signaling. Pretending to do something. Yeah.
And so that's what you're referring to. I think the original point is that prison situation, I think that was probably centered around some form of virtue signaling. I can say that confidently because that wouldn't have happened had it not been around, let me look as if I'm good. And then it resulted in stories that you and right-wing media can talk about. But that is woke extremism. Woke extremism, like I said, is just basically, let's include one, race baiters.
A race baiter
is someone who, the definition, to be specific, Someone who intentionally angers someone by doing or saying something to annoy them when it pertains to race relations. That's the actual definition. That's not me just making it up. That's the definition in the dictionary. If Harry wants to Google it right now, he can do so. Word for word, that is what a race baiter is. Those people, those individuals who intentionally go out of their way to annoy you and to anger you when talking about race, those people exist. They are a byproduct of this dynamic. We also have race grifters. You heard of a race grifter? I've been called a race baiter and a race grifter. Little do they know that I understand the two, and I guarantee they don't. A race grifter is someone who makes money, swindles people. Talking about
you
race.
You mean like the organization behind Black Lives Matter?
Nudge me right now, Rob. Nudge me right now. Okay. We're now going on and on. I told you, see, we're going everywhere and anywhere because look how many Black Lives, don't even get me started right now. That is the perfect example of swindle. Race grifters. All right. And I'm a Black Lives Matter activist and organizer. Please remember that for your audience and for yourself. I am an organizer of the Black Lives Matter protest, and I can tell you categorically, BLM UK, one, full of shit. BLM in general, full of shit. And what I mean by full of shit is race baiters. You've taken people's money and you're nowhere to be seen. Okay, let's just differentiate between the two. So I don't want to get people confused. BLM UK, the organization, is one. They made approximately 1.2 million from the Black Lives Matter protests, which they condemned, which people forget about. So that's an aside. We'll talk about the global foundation, Patrice. Patrice was buying £6 million houses and throwing parties for her son in said houses. That £6 million came from donations. People donating because they cared about Black lives, and you've spent that money on a massive, massive, beautiful house so you can have parties. Awesome. She also hired her brother. I think, I can't even remember the stats, I do apologize, but fact, hired her brother as security, paid him off, basically just put him on the books. He basically made a ton of money from BLM UK because he was hired by his sister. So there's just all of these kind of different dynamics. The brother being hired and making money for something that he has no experience in doing, which we know is now nepotism. But the issue is you've now done that with buying a house that's worth £6 million. You've now resigned. We cannot categorically say where all of that money has gone. So there are so many issues, and I think that is the perfect, for me personally, the perfect example of race grifters. What an absolute disappointment. What a disappointment. And everyone knows my stance. I've been saying it for the last 3 years, so this isn't new. I was the awkward person who, awkward, annoying, enemy person who decided to say that BLM UK, or sorry, the BLM movement had been hijacked. So that was the first time that it really went into the media, was when I spoke to someone from Daily Mail. And as you can imagine, being left and being black, one, you don't speak to the Daily Mail, and two, you don't go against an organization that appears to be advocating for black people. And I was the sole voice, the only voice. There was no famous person, not one celebrity, not one MP. In fact, David Lammy from Labour was following BLM UK the whole time. I had a conversation with him, and I said to him, you are following BLM UK and you are following all of these different organizations that are abolitionists. They are the antithesis of what you stand for. Why are you following BLM UK? I didn't know. Who knows if he's still following them, but moral of the tale was there was no famous person, there was no one in government, there was no voice of reason that said, let's just delve into what BLM UK, the organization, stands for. And they stand for abolition. Anyone that read the fine print on their website when they donated their money would have known that. But what happens is people virtue signal. Why? Because people are leaders or followers. That's a whole other conversation. But moral of the tale is you had a whole load of followers donating money to BLM UK, not realizing that they are not reformists, which is what I represent. They are abolitionists. Get rid of the police or defund it. And we do not subscribe to British institutions, in spite the fact that they live in Britain. They do not subscribe to capitalism, in spite the fact that they made a load of money and then bought property. Again, complete contradiction. So going off on a tangent, I just wanted to really make it dead clear. The epitome of race grifters. I would personally say Patrice and that global movement. I don't want to condemn the other women because I know my research is based off of Patrice. So I'm not trying to condemn the other members so much. They need to take accountability. But my issue is with Patrice and what she has done, and she's shown that she is fraud. Fake as fuck. So Patrice is an issue, and then BLM UK is an issue also, due to the fact that, again, they've, one, not taken any kind of, or made sure that they are transparent. That was always the biggest issue. No one knows who they are. I think they did one interview in 2020. I think it was for BBC, two members, and that was it. So who knows? You're probably walking past, you could be walking past someone right now and they're in a Bentley and they're from BLM UK and they've spent that money, the money that many good-hearted people donated, on their car. But we can't say that that's true or not true. We can only speculate. Due to the fact that there's no transparency. So that's one of the biggest issues of BLM UK. I know that they've also donated money, one of which was, I'm pretty sure, South Africa, which for me, again, this is just me and my own bias, but there's an issue in the UK. We're talking about the UK. English people donated money to you as a UK charity, whatever, and you're now gonna just send that money abroad or send that money to an organization that represents another country. I find that somewhat incredulous, especially because that money is not your money. It's not your money to just send to your people. It is the money that came from empathetic people that were talking and responding to the dynamics in England, right? So I'm pretty sure that in terms of how they spent their money, I'm not fully convinced. And I know that they haven't spent all of it, and it's 3 years later. And if they have, they haven't been transparent about it. So yeah, we've got the lack of transparency with BLM UK, and the fact that they've also, they received the money from the Black Lives Matter protests. And what people don't realize is they put up a post. Categorically, this is a fact. They just got rid of it, and I have evidence. They put up a post saying, we do not support people going out to protest on the 31st of May. This was in 2020, the first big protest in Parliament Square. We do not support it. The reason why is because it was in the height of COVID. Now, who was dying from COVID? Black people. So they said, I'm pretty sure the words almost were something like, Black people are being disproportionately affected by COVID, and so therefore we do not support Black people going out and protesting. At no point when I was protesting did I ever meet anyone that represented BLM UK. Did I ever see a t-shirt or someone with a speaker or someone standing there saying, I'm BLM UK, this is the BLM movement and here we all are? No, never happened, didn't exist. You condemned the whole entire thing. You told Black people not to come out. And then it was me and other grassroots organizations, small grassroots organizations, people that use their initiative that came together and decided to organize the BLM movement, the BLM protest. Separate to BLM UK. BLM UK, as far as I'm aware, they were sitting in their house watching the protests, taking everyone's money. That's my perception of things, being on the ground.
So what do you think then of the recent relaxing of laws of power for police to stop protests? Have you looked into that?
Yeah, of course. So we refer to it as kill the bill. So that was the hashtag.
Kill the bill.
Kill the bill.
Yeah.
Kill the bill. And that is obviously about limiting free speech.
Yeah.
And it's disguised as putting or getting things in order, when in actual fact, it's just a byproduct of this kind of culture war that we previously discussed, in terms of the pendulum swinging the other way. The marginalized community is now getting a voice and gaining power. Because the salient point here is power. And therefore, the opposition will defend. That's how it, that's human dynamic. And so for me, that's a byproduct of thousands of black people and white people, because that's where it gets tricky, you see. Because if it's just black people marching, okay, fine, whatever, we don't care about this. But when you've got black people and I'm standing next to Rob, we got an issue. And then I'm standing next to Harry.
He's got his balls in his hand.
He's got his balls in his hand. I've got yours in my purse. Yeah. We're standing together. Yeah. And we're now combined. We now have a shared agenda. We are now connected and we could potentially be a force to reckon with. Mm. And therefore, that is an issue
for the police.
For those that want to. Not, I'm not just talking solely about the police. I'm talking about the powers at be, right? Yeah. Whether it's government, whether it's police, whether it is any institution.
Who are the powers that be then?
Well, first it starts with the individuals. Second, it starts with the institutions that have the most wide-reaching power. So you have government. You have the education system. Think about our main institutions. These are the power of being.
Right.
And people just don't realize. And of course, it starts with the individual.
Yeah.
But we are on this hamster wheel because the institution teaches us and conditions us to think a certain way. We do certain, make certain steps throughout our life, whether it's college, uni, etc. Then you get into government or then you get into being a doctor. And then you just follow that same pattern, not realizing that you are just another person on that hamster wheel that's always been running.
And you mentioned earlier free speech.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you think we are in the world with free speech? Do we have it?
1,000,000% we have free speech. People are conflating hate speech with freedom of speech. Two separate things. Again, it's this either or. Everything's no. Think about your life. Nothing's either or. There's always gray in between. There's always nuance. There's always balance. And so in terms of freedom of speech, they're two separate things. Always have been. Hate speech is something separate. Freedom of speech is something separate. We have freedom of speech. We have decided to conflate the two, and we have now decided we're going to trickle into hate speech. Two separate things.
Right.
Hate speech is one thing. Freedom of speech is another. Hence why it has been enshrined in law, right? There's separate things. We have a law for freedom of speech, we have a law for hate speech. They're two separate things, but yet that conversation isn't had because people conflate two things.
And why have they got confused? Because people are getting cancelled and things like that?
I think it's exactly that.
Yeah.
The cancelled, but again, it's this, everything that I just said, basically, it stems down to one, leaders and followers. Mm. So if you're a leader, you're going to go against what society is telling you. You're going to find your own path, right? Disruptor. If you're a follower, you're just going to do what everyone else does. And so if everyone else is saying that it's either or, what are you going to do? It's either or.
Mm.
So a lot of people are just responding because of the fact that they are genuinely just followers. And they haven't necessarily had that introspection and realized that, oh, wow, I really just follow stuff. If someone says something in the media that's influential or attractive or has money, I'm influenced and I'm going to follow their path. You're a follower. Mm. A leader turns around and says, right, I'm going to take everything into consideration. I'm now going to break it down. I'm now going to think about it. And I'm now going to see how I can make that my own. That's a leader.
Mm. So, and what do you think? What do you think about... This might take a little while for me to get to the point,
please.
But I'll do my best. So we've got Andrew Tate,
who
talks about the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of a sudden, you know, he's powerful and the Matrix want to bring him down. Then you've got all these people coming out from his past, often 10, 15, 20 years ago. Many of them are don't want to be named by the BBC or whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know, accusing him of misogyny and rape and things like that. Is there a Matrix? Is Andrew Tate being attacked by said Matrix? And are all these people who seem to come out at these very opportune moments believable, or has just the world changed?
I think, one, the world has changed, so you're spot on in terms of your latter point. Two, Andrew Tate is right. There is a matrix, and everyone will perceive it or call it a different name. But for me, I actually refer to it as the Matrix. One, because I love the Matrix. Oh, wow. Refuse to watch the, this is an aside, refuse to watch the most recent one because it was like, no, the original Matrix is the original Matrix. Mm. That's where my brain goes. And so I haven't even watched the most recent one. But moral of the tale was, yes, there is a Matrix. It connects to exactly what I said in terms of this hamster wheel that we are all on. Then we don't even realize. The only reason why we don't realize is because we don't ask why, and then ask why again, and then ask why again, yeah. and then ask why. And you just keep on asking why until you get to the root, right? Yeah. We don't do that. That's, again, introspection. Most people don't do that. It's a hard thing to do. You probably have to sit down by yourself with a glass of wine and have a conversation with yourself. You might look like a crackhead, but those are the things that allow ourselves to really connect with what's going on inside. So I think there is a matrix. It is governed by these institutions, like I said, and these institutions are not separate to individuals, because everyone always thinks of the big bad wolf, this institution, it's like a machine and it just perpetuates racism, it just perpetuates sexism. No, the individuals make the institution, so it's our society.
Yeah.
And then again, what came first, the chicken or the egg? But it's that whole thing of we are all on this vicious cycle, this hamster wheel that just goes round and round and round and round. And it starts with the individual because they were conditioned by the institutions, but then the institutions make the individual. So it comes back to the individual. And so
for years, people have been asking me where I buy my watches. Many of you may know I'm a watch collector, I'm a watch investor, and those as an asset class have done me very well in the last 15 years. I have never shared where I source my watches from or my watch dealer until now. My watch dealer used to be a professional footballer for Manchester United, and he formed a watch brand called Broadwalk. And he sources the higher-end brands like Rolex, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe and Richard Mille. I trust him, I've used him for many years, and recently we've done a partnership. Hence, I'm inviting you, if you want to start investing in watches and protect your money from the banks and inflation, to check out Broadwalk. That's Broadwalk. And the website is broadwalkgroup.com. The email is sales@broadwalkgroup.com. And please don't share this, but his number is 07496 878153. Obviously, only message him if you're serious about buying and investing in the higher end watches. People have been asking me for years, and for the first time ever, you can get access to my watch team.
Comes back to what I just said. What came first, the chicken or the egg? But it's the institutions. That is the matrix, and he is right in that respect. But again, because everyone thinks in terms of either or, Andrew Tate cannot be right and wrong at the same time. Impossible!
Yeah.
Because they're people are followers. They just we're just leading with whatever media is telling us, and then the media is going off of what they think we want to hear. But people have just decided it's either black or it's white. And there's no gray. What's happened to us? Like I said, I've told you the pendulum has swung the other way. So Andrew Tate is right. People like him have been right to an extent, and they've also been wrong. And it's possible to do those things in the same space. You can say something that is technically steeped in truth, and then your own agenda, your own ego, your own self-esteem, your own prejudice, which could be racist, sexist, misogynistic, transphobic, anti-Semitism, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things now start to affect your decision-making. And so now you start to stray from the original foundation, which was truth, which could have been Patrice Cullors, for example. She could have started, and I do believe, I am that type of person. I will give her the benefit of the doubt. Do I believe she just jumped up one day and said, I'm going to swindle millions of people and black people? No, I do not. It came from somewhere. It came from being black. It came from understanding and connecting to the issues in the world. And then all of these other factors are now combined, like combined and now start to affect that original truth and that original dynamic. And like I said, those things are ego, self-esteem, prejudice, which includes racial prejudice. So Jordan Peterson can be racially prejudiced. Andrew Tate can be racially prejudiced. But because he's just said something that's truthful to you, you're thinking that those things aren't possible. And now he's just a liar, or now he's just the truth, when in actual fact, no, at 2 minutes 10, he was the truth. At 2 minutes 15, he was leading with agenda. At 2 minutes 20 seconds, he was leading with racial prejudice and his own low self-esteem for being a mixed race man and not understanding the world and racial prejudice, etc. And then at 3 minutes, he's brought you back to where he originally was, which is grounded in truth. And so your brain decides it's either or. So it's pros, cons, where does my brain go? Was I convinced, again, like a debate, was I convinced by the opposition? Was I convinced by the proposition, which is technically all the different scenarios that I just explained. And 9 times out of 10, because we are leaders or followers, we go for one or the other, as opposed to accepting that all of those things are true in the same space.
What you said about Andrew Tate is really fascinating. I think objectivity is really hard right now.
It is.
So we had him on the show. He was 25 minutes early. We've had other guests on the show that are hideously late.
What was I? About 10 minutes late. And admittedly, I usually wear a mask. I'm going to just give you my apologies. Firstly, for keeping you and Harry waiting, because I know you had a long day. But secondly, I do apologize for interrupting. I just wanted to say this point. I got recognized, and I usually wear a mask. Shouldn't be saying this, because now people are going to recognize me. But you get my point. I'm usually covered.
Yeah.
And today I was recognized, and I felt like I felt somewhat obliged to just give him some love.
Yeah.
And so he was the person that walked in, right? You saw him. Harry's nodding. He was the person who walked in. I just went in for directions, and he just got all excited. And so that was why I was late. I do apologize.
You don't have to.
But no problem.
But my point is, he was 25 minutes early and other people are late. So, you know, if being early is important to you, you like Andrew Tate in that moment. And if it's not, you don't. Because you judge on how. And then we did 3 hours and 20 minutes with him.
Wow.
And we were chatting with him and he was normal.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, yeah, this seems like a cool guy. And then the cameras went on and he went right. And he went into character.
Yeah.
And then you could think, oh, he's like, is he acting here? Yeah. Is this truthful?
Yeah.
And then he was talking about his real world and things like that. And I'm thinking, he's selling here.
You see?
And
agenda.
Then, yeah, exactly.
See? That's the agenda. Agenda.
And he didn't deny that or even say anything was wrong with that. And you're right. And then I talked to my wife about him and she's like, well, there's no smoke without fire.
Yeah.
You know, and all these cases and everything else. And so she's viewing him from the lens of a mum with, you know, a 9-year-old daughter. And Harry and I and my son are viewing him through a lens of maybe being slightly privileged.
Yep.
You know, white men, etc. So it's really hard to be objective.
Yeah.
And I think that when you say nuanced, it's like, okay, in this moment, what's the evidence? And is that right or wrong? Is that truthful or not?
There is nothing neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so.
Yes.
Shakespeare quote.
Yeah.
One of my favourites, my mum taught it.
Indeed.
Me.
So we put
There is nothing neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. So it is your thinking, and your thinking has been, it is shrouded in all of these things like ego, self-esteem, prejudice, agenda, etc., etc. So that's the point.
Yeah. So ego, and what did you say the other word was? You said ego.
Low self-esteem, the antithesis of one another.
Is ego the enemy?
No.
No.
It can be. Right now, I'm leading with ego. I have to lead with ego in order to lead with ensure that I get my agenda. So my agenda is to educate, to have a stimulating conversation, to connect with you, to be honest, to be truthful, to educate, to inspire. So in order to do those things, I cannot lead with low self-esteem. Let's just see it as a spectrum. So, right, you've got low self-esteem here and you've got ego here. You'll find many individuals, they'll class it as maybe, for example, extroverted versus introverted. Mm. When in actual fact, that's just a personality trait, right?
Yeah,
you can still be an introvert with really good self-esteem. You can still be an extrovert with really bad self-esteem.
Yeah.
But it's a spectrum, nevertheless. And people, like I said, should vacillate because it is situation dependent. This is what I actually find with racism. People don't realize this, but racism is situation dependent. That's a whole other conversation.
As in where you were born, your environment,
No, situation dependent. As in right now, you may not be racist to Harry because Harry is your people's. You might find yourself in a position where someone is hierarchy, someone is higher than you, they've pissed you off, etc. And then you might find all of these feelings that you didn't realize was there because the power dynamic has shifted. And so this is why it's situation dependent. You can be perfectly fine with your friends who were black, but then when you're walking down the road in the middle of the night and you see a black man with a hoodie, you're now scared and you're now leading with your racial prejudice, right? That's the same individual who's got tons of black friends. Mm. Same individual who doesn't class themselves as racist, but they are inherently, because racial prejudice is something that no one can avoid. I'm going off on a tangent. Where did we go with that? So we was talking about the
ego
different things. Thank you very much.
Self-esteem.
Thank you. I just gave you that little nugget. So ego versus self-esteem. Complete and utter antithesis of one another, but you need both of them because your self-esteem will allow you to get back to being grounded, being humble, being empathetic, being able to connect, being able to put your
open-minded,
being able to put your agenda aside, your needs aside for someone else.
Yeah.
That technically is, I'm not saying it's low self-esteem, I'm saying it's the spectrum, and it's closer to the low self-esteem than it is to the ego, right? And so to view either one of them as enemy would be a disjustice to yourself.
Mm.
They are both there to support you. They are both there to work for you. They are both there to guide you in your aim and your agenda as a human being is to find your what? Balance.
Mm. So they mean nothing other than the meaning we put on them.
Thank you. Based on what?
Spot on. Okay, fine. So here's another interesting thing. You talked about, you know, it's perceived that you are left.
Yeah.
It's probably perceived that I'm right.
Yeah, I perceive you as right. Are you kidding? You not? Tell me.
Well,
am I wrong?
This is the bit that Harry was most looking forward to. Well, I honestly don't really label myself in that way.
Okay.
In that I believe in kindness.
Yes.
I believe in equal opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think those things are important.
Yeah.
I also believe that in personal responsibility.
Yes, accountability.
I believe
is
in the, you know, the American dream translated into the UK.
Yeah.
I believe that government should intervene minimum amounts and allow us through competition and evolution find our way into building our empires.
So everything, just to cut you, please remember, I don't want to take you off, but
no,
I just wanted
to
say, I totally agree with everything you just said. So please continue. This is why we're going to have an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Because I subscribe to everything you just said.
And I don't necessarily call this capitalism, because I don't think we have true capitalism, just like I think we're in this sort of weird hybrid, slightly social communist, slightly capital state in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I look at government, for example, I needed to get an SA302 because I'm getting a new car. It's just a piece of paper from the Inland Revenue. The car's about 150 grand. And they're shut till September. The fucking government are shut till September and you can't get a piece of paper off them. But if I didn't pay my tax bill, which is why I need this SA302, and this tax bill is hundreds of thousands of pounds, I'm sure I'd fucking find out about that. And then all this tax...
You would.
Well, I would. You know, can I, like in you lockdown, would. Can I not pay my tax? And so like I pay 70% in tax, corp tax, national insurance, income tax. And then people, you know, I have discussions with people and they're like, well, where does that go? Well, a third of it goes to unknown.
Yep.
A third of it goes to repaying interest on national debt.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into the NHS. Mm-hmm. Then it goes into the government coffers and paying all their wages and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the massive, the hugely outdated tax code.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking, yeah, in lockdown, oh, let's all work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these public sector people not really doing any work. Yet they don't want all this inflation and they want to rebuild the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all fucked.
Yeah.
It's all fucked. What about all the people who are able-bodied, who are on benefits because it pays more to get benefits than it does to go and get a job?
Yes.
Pull those 3 million people out. Train them, support them, subsidise them, and get them to fucking work.
But see, now you're sounding like, who is it? Reform Party? I'm pretty sure that was Richard Tice's from Talk TV. I'm pretty sure
I talked to Nigel Farage about
this
a fair bit. But like, anyone who's got a disability or an illness, that's different.
Yeah.
But someone who's perfectly able to
work. But how do you
work,
do that? This is what I mean about this kind of, again, it's for me,
better,
it's just
better controls.
No, but
better
you can
controls,
believe
it's
it.
Obvious who's
you can believe it, but how do
gaming
you
the
do
system.
It? But that's the difference. You can believe it, you
need
can shout
someone
it to the...
strong to come in and lead the country.
Giving you back your balls.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Where's Margaret Thatcher when you fucking need her?
I
drove down. Like, I drove down and got a coffee in the middle of my city.
Yeah.
And this guy came up to me and he was homeless and I was just chatting to him. I said, why don't you go back to work? And he goes, there's no point. because I can make more money on the dole. And I'm like, fuck me. While most of HMRC are having a holiday or working from home. Do you know 46,000 a year in my tax? Like, I pay a lot more than that in tax, but 46,000 of it goes for paying the baby boomers and health and welfare for, you know, the older generation. I just think, this isn't a capitalist society. This is, and this is where when people talk about left and right.
And the Matrix, because what just resonated with me was the homeless man who said, it's cheaper to, or better to be on the dole.
Yeah.
And let's just understand why that dynamic, or why he's happy to sit in that dynamic, because you now have to understand the individual, and you don't have to necessarily know someone, you just have to understand human behavior.
Yeah.
And if we are now saying that I can do what I want, I have my own autonomy, it may be limited, but I have my own autonomy, I can do what I want, versus enter the Matrix. And then when I do enter the Matrix, Rob, I'm not Rob Moore with the 150K car. I'm at the bottom of the fucking barrel. And then Rob looks down at me and says, well, you should have been here ages ago. Why don't you work harder? Well, no, Rob, no. Because you know what? Path of least resistance. Another thing that people are governed by, path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's people like me and a lot of people like me out there that would more than happily help and train these people. I just went and spoke to a load of kids at school, giving them financial education and knowledge. There are so many bright, wealthy, entrepreneurial people in the UK that would support the government and that would help educate our society.
But
how
that,
to be useful
agenda,
and valuable.
Though? But is that their agenda though? Because that's our agenda
yeah.
for empathetic individuals like yourself and me and et cetera and many other people that are listening. That may be our agenda, but in terms of the government, if we're talking about the Matrix, how is that in line with
is
educating the masses and making sure, because again, it's technically what I've actually spoken about a lot with my mum, which is Labour and Conservative. And I've always said it, my mum's always said it, it's if there was no working class, Labour wouldn't exist. We know this to be true, factually based off of history. And so it is this thing of the Matrix is the Matrix. It is governed a certain way, it ensures that we have the inequalities that we have, it ensures that we have the working class, middle class, upper class. It is designed that way. So when you sit here frustratedly talking about education, you need to remember it is not aligned with the Matrix.
No.
Because educating people means now a new sense of consciousness. Mm. A new sense of consciousness and awareness
means critical thinking.
And there are only certain people that are taught critical thinking. Free, you think I was taught critical thinking? No, you go to private school, you're taught critical thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Free,
so this is what I mean. It's not aligned.
Thinking.
And then who it will be aligned for is people like you. So this is why they'll say, okay, no, we do want critical and independent thinking, but we're just going to do that in the private schools where it's just loads of white people. And then that's another example of their agenda compounded with their racial prejudice manifesting itself in a decision that you are completely oblivious to, because you've just seen it as, well, why aren't they doing it? No, they're not doing it because it's not aligned with their agenda. Education means better consciousness. Better consciousness and awareness means more leaders.
Yeah, less,
you cannot have more leaders. We need more followers, because the followers is what keeps the Matrix alive.
Mm.
That's the point.
That is the point.
That's the point.
That is the point.
I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, that is the point. And I don't want to go down a conspiracy rabbit hole, but I completely agree. People always ask me, why isn't all this cool financial stuff taught in schools? Well, why would the education system want us to teach us all to be free, independent thinkers who don't put all of our money in the bank and save money?
Thank you.
Because then they wouldn't make all their interest and they wouldn't lend out all their money. And why do they teach us that your house is your best investment ever so you can get a mortgage and have a mortgage
Thank
for 25
you. This
years?
This keeps their the economy, which technically is an example of the Matrix, alive. Without those things, we have no economy. Without
who runs
those things,
the Matrix?
All
like
of the
who?
Institutions.
Yeah, but who though?
And this is the thing.
Is it the Rothschilds? Is it who controls the world?
No, all right. So this is what's interesting, because I think that everyone always looks as if it's just like one thing. And I think that is very much.
No, but it could be like 100 people. You know, people talk about Davos and all this stuff, don't they? Could be like these families going back.
I think that plays a role. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. So everything you are almost insinuating, I definitely agree with.
I just think
there is that dynamic.
Good to know these things so you know how the world works. Because like raising kids right now, I think is challenging. I've got two. And I think, what's the best job I can do as a dad? Teach them how the world really fucking is.
Which is education.
Yeah, which is education. And so if the really world really is, the banks don't care about you,
yeah,
and the government don't care about you, and you've got to go and build your empire, that's what you've got to learn. That's
yeah.
So that, before I get fucking cancelled myself, that's why I'm always asking, well, who controls the world and what, you know, what is really going on? But you always hit fucking dead ends.
But that's because, again, I think you are still leading with this brain of either or. You have decided, again, I was going to say, I think it definitely connects to this kind of rationale in terms of religion. And when people think of Buddha or Allah or God, or just one thing at the center yeah. of it all. And I think that is our own natural rationale as human beings. But again, when you take into consideration nuance, there is no, it actually is illogical. It's actually nonsensical. If you think about genuine nuance and understanding the dynamics of the world and the fact that there are billions of us, it's actually nonsensical to just think that there's just this kind of nefarious family, you know, just doing
Mr.
all
this. Mr. Burns type,
right?
From The Simpsons.
You.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
yeah.
they don't exist. They are there. They're yeah. just a part of this dynamic that I spoke to you about in terms of these institutions. Because how you really get your power, one, wealth, and two, being in charge of some form of institution, having that. Mm. That authority. And so it's the combination of institutions, it's the combination of those that are well off, because wealth allows you to have influence, and influence can technically govern the world, hence why you can see why people go down that rabbit hole. But it's just not one family, there's millions of them, because wealth yeah. is one, and then institutions is another. The smart, strategic motherfucker will do both, right? They'll be a wealthy motherfucker and they're going to go into institutions and start trying to shape minds, right?
Motherfucker.
Right? Yeah. Samuel Jackson, even though yeah. I don't like him anymore.
But why not?
Because he said he didn't like black English actors taking American roles. That's another tangent. But I love his motherfucker, so that's where I get it from. It's not my age.
Was it Pulp Fiction where he had his
yeah.
bad motherfucker wallet?
Yeah.
With bad motherfucker
mm-hmm.
written on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Right, Piers Morgan, you've been on his show loads
yes.
of times. Why does he fucking not let people speak? Piers, like, we've talked to Piers loads of times about being on this show. I'll get him in that chair. And
really
I'll let him talk
yeah.
forever, like he does on his show.
Yeah.
Like, what is the state of current journalism in the UK? Look at, you know, the whole BBC thing
yeah.
with Andrew Tate and that. Was it Lisa Williamson? Lucy Williamson. And yeah, and you know, Piers, all the, now and then the rise of these independent media companies like GB News.
Yeah.
Piers, what's going on in the state of the UK media scene? How's media changed?
I think it's now on the defense as opposed to offense, right? And I think that's, again, a part of that conversation, the wider, or connects to the wider conversation about this culture war, this polarization, this pendulum swinging the other way.
Is mainstream media dying? Is it suffocating?
It connects to what you were just talking about, actually, in terms of who runs the world, right? And you've got
Murdoch.
The individual with wealth. Exactly. You see, it connects. Think about it. I'm validating my point right now. Thank you for setting me up.
Yeah.
It connects. The wealthy people, the wealthy people now have influence, and then they can start doing
media.
All of these amazing things like Make Talk TV and all of these
yeah.
other newspapers and all of these other media outlets. So wealth is one. And then what you do is you've now made it into a what? Institution. Did I not say that is the most strategic? I'll do these two. In fact, I'll do these two, because I don't know what is that. That's nice. That's peace sign. What's that one?
That's
a swear
peace.
Word. Oh, okay. So that's
yeah.
a swear word.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was wrong. You know, when you're doing it, you're like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
These.
That'll
two.
Be the thumbnail.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Please.
Get a photo afterwards, Harry. Get you, once you've got your balls back, then get a
photo, right?
Yeah.
No, those two, individual and institution, and those that are the smartest will take on both. And so I think Murdoch, I always say his last name, Murdoch is a really good example of delving into the two. You have your money, you've now built an institution, and now your money allows you to have influence, and then the institution allows you to have a wider influence. And those two things rule the world. That is what happens, literally.
Yeah.
The individual plus the institution.
Right.
And so in terms of what's happening with Talk TV, GB, etc., again, like I said, it's on the defense. They were originally trying to score and black people and the vase of this world and the transgender of this world were too busy trying to stop them from scoring. Yeah. And now the pendulum's changed. Now we're scoring, and you have the likes of the Talk TVs and the GB News doing their damnedest to try to score, hence why they exist, hence why they are doing whatever they can to fuel whatever culture wars they can, because they wouldn't exist if this dynamic didn't exist. That's a fact. I don't actually think anyone could really attest to that point. They wouldn't exist if we didn't have this current dynamic. So it makes complete sense to just continue down that road, because this is something that is aligned with your agenda and is keeping you alive.
My agenda, what's my agenda?
It's aligned, it's aligned with the agenda.
Do you think Piers was right to walk and off Good Morning TV because Meghan tried to force an apology out of him?
That's a really good question. I haven't thought of that. So do I think it was, you'd think I would have, but in all honesty, I just couldn't care less. But in this moment, I care, so I'm going to try to figure out why.
Why couldn't you care less?
Because I just think, I didn't, why would I care? I'm trying to think of why would I care?
Why
I don't watch TV.
Care?
I didn't
unless
watch Good Morning Britain. Unless I'm on it. Even then, I find it a bit cringy and uncomfortable when I don't watch it. But I don't watch TV. So wasn't.
Well, I liked that act. I liked that act of rebellion. It's like, okay, you might be a big, powerful media company, but you can't force me to say I'll do anything. Fuck you.
I think I love that. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes, and that's my nature. And I think 100% it's about just understanding your integrity, where your red line is, what you stand for, and making sure that you are not influenced on that journey. And that's the difference between a follower and a leader. Yeah. And so for me, I actually totally agree with you. If I was to be completely brutally honest, does it resemble me and my character 100%? Is it me? Am I going to tolerate someone telling me what I can and shouldn't believe or should believe? No, because I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. Piers is a leader. So therefore, no one's going to dictate to this man how he should feel, and therefore he walked. So in terms of from one leader to another, I respect it, I agree with it, and it's something I would have done.
So we're, I suppose, in a way, a relatively small independent media outlet. What should our agendas be?
Educate is number one.
Yeah.
Educate is always number one, which you have been doing. So there's no ifs, buts, or maybes. You've already ticked that box. Like I said, the education leads to better consciousness and awareness, which leads to three things that ultimately make a human being: thoughts, feelings, and behavior. So better consciousness and awareness leads to better thoughts, which leads to better feelings, which leads to better behavior. So number one agenda for anyone that wants to actually do good is to educate, not be a race baiter and annoy you and anger you when talking about race, but try to bring you on the journey. And it's only when, again, situation dependent, if you know that that is what is required in that moment. For example, maybe you're talking about the monarchy, or maybe you're, you know, maybe you what is required is more passion, what is required is more fire, then fine. But it's always centered in trying to educate and engage, and sometimes you've got to be a bit more fiery to do so.
Because Harry and I talk a lot about the algorithms and the titles and the thumbnails, and we've had this conversation with endless guests, the difference between good, authentic content that if you don't really push it may get mediocre views, or Harry can fuck around with outrageous titles and thumbnails, which he often does. The amount of times I say to Harry, what you have just written on that title isn't even in the fucking video. It's pure clickbait.
Creativity,
pure clickbait.
And that's his agenda. As someone who's
and Harry said, "I'm just testing."
You,
yeah, I'm just testing. Some.
He's got to bring it, right?
Well, this is the conversation we have, because there is no art without viewers.
Yeah.
But if you sell your soul out and you become what we call an algorithm whore,
yeah, love that.
Then
I may use it.
Yeah, you feel free. just credit. Credit
I will,
us.
I will.
And give us a shout out. But yeah, I suppose it's like music, isn't it? You know, do you play the stuff you love, or do you play the stuff to fill stadiums? It's like art. Do you paint what you love, or do you paint what is commercial? And we think about this all the time. Because in a way, what you were saying earlier about the chicken and the egg, the algorithms change all the time, and they are fickle as fuck.
Yeah.
And just when we think, oh, you know, we've got a few videos that pop and we've done well, you get a shadow ban or the algorithm changes, and, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, we spend a lot of money on the road creating this content, and yeah, like I wish there, I don't wish for much because I think life has everything you could wish for, but it is, have you got any guidance as someone, you know, who's pretty prevalent in the media on how you play the game, the dance of the algorithms and the titles and the content?
It's so interesting. I love the fact that you've just said that because that's definitely been an issue that I've had to think about in terms of media and how they strategically do things, how they strategically label things and name
like you're
things.
Calling yourself an activist on your website.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I knew you'd be bringing the fire today, but to be honest, this has just been a really interesting conversation. And not like, you know, us hating each other yes. because of our differences.
Yes.
But you know, but you call yourself an activist.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, fucking, what's she going to bring? Like,
you see?
Yeah.
And see, it is that. I love the fact you just said that as well, because it... My mum was actually trying to get me to realise this the other day. It's the associations that come with these words, right?
Yeah.
And so just like when we talk about woke. So woke, once upon a time, was just a normal thing.
Yeah.
It was just alive to social injustices. And now it's like they've weaponized it. So it's like dirty. Oh, you're woke. Oh, you're woke. Oh, you're... Right?
Yeah.
It becomes dirty.
Yeah.
And so then you have to be strategic in understanding the words and their associations.
Mm.
And I think that is an art of storytelling, communication skills. So I think you can lead with storytelling, communication skills, and be a bit cheeky and say, you know, do what Harry did and write some random thing. You can do these
How
things.
How to hurt a narcissist.
Right.
On a thumbnail that didn't even really talk about narcissism. You wait till you see what he puts on yours.
I know, right.
What's it going to be, Harry?
Thank you.
What were you thinking before?
Something heated debate versus...
Yeah, left
the... Right, that's the norm.
Woke
that's
left
the norm.
Versus extreme
that's the norm.
Right.
And what
me
I
and
would
you
say...
Like this.
But that's the truth. And then, but the irony is, what I personally think we need to do is do exactly that. We're going to stage it. Me and you together, and it's woke. That I totally get that, because I think it is just about trying to throw it on its head.
Yeah.
You're trying to just throw it on its head. This is how you... Like, okay, just to answer your point, I just want to just backpedal just a little bit. How does one navigate this dynamic that we've spoken about in your position? One, stay true to yourself. Two, keep your integrity, right? Stay true.
I keep telling him this.
It's true.
Like, he keeps trying to get me to interview all these people for cheap views.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Bitching them.
And that's how you go down the rabbit hole. That's how you go down the rabbit hole. That's how you end
go
up
and get your balls
being a bitchy
back.
Part of the matrix.
Go and get your balls back, Harry.
Yeah, Harry.
See, Harry would get me to interview anyone if he thought he could, you know.
And then, but why is that, though? That's not a Harry thing. That is a, I am a producer and therefore I have an agenda thing, right? And that's the point. So this has got nothing to do with Harry. Harry would not be thinking this had he not. He wouldn't be thinking this had he not had this role and have to ensure that you get your views and get what's needed in order for you both to thrive. So therefore he has to kind of think in different ways and kind of think out of the box and be a bit more creative or push. Again, it's that. You start to push your red line. So say your red line was here, because you have an agenda, you push it here.
Yeah.
Then you push it here. And then next minute, you know, you've turned into the extremist.
Yes, Harry.
Whether it's a virtue signaler, a race baiter. Because a race baiter, a perfect example. Someone who intentionally, like I said, definition, someone who intentionally angers someone by saying or doing something to annoy them. That is the definition of a race baiter. Now, technically, you could argue that any right-wing media are race baiters. Technically, you could actually argue that point, because they know in this time, talking about race is going to do what? It's going to either...
Trigger people.
Thank you. So therefore, you are a race baiter, because that is the definition. That is the actual... Anyone that decides I'm going to talk about race, just straight race, you're being a race baiter, because you know categorically it's going to get your ass views.
So are we race baiting then?
No, because we haven't spoken about race. We've had one of my most favourite conversations. It's been genuine. It's gone all around the earth. It's been authentic, it's been grounded, it's been kind of connected to spirituality, societal needs, norms, individual. I think it's been an excellent conversation. So had it ended with just speaking about BLM UK, just speaking about race, just speaking about peers, and then just speaking about black people, I would have left secretly thinking this is another right-wing opportunist who's trying to get views.
And
I
then,
didn't get that sense.
Then you'll see his thumbnail, and it'll be you and I like that, and that's Harry.
That's
Harry's getting some ideas here.
Right?
Yeah, fucking hell.
It is that, again, it always goes back to the nuance. Always goes back to the nuance and finding your balance, because you have to just think about it in two ways: the individual and the society.
Yeah.
These are the two things that we are all having to contend with. These two dynamics: being an individual and being the best version of yourself,
yeah.
and then being a part of society where there are norms and expectations and etc. etc.
Yeah.
And so, to say you're going to do one and not the other. You're failing.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of nonsensical, because you live in a society, so it's actually not going to do you that well if you just focus on yourself. If you focus on just the society and not on yourself, then you lose your integrity. You start selling your soul. You start doing all of these terrible things that you probably shouldn't be doing. You start looking towards a paycheck, et cetera, et cetera. So again, just like I said, with all of the things that I've spoken about, you find your balance.
Yeah.
You find your balance between the two. You keep your integrity, but you have to understand that just keeping your integrity alone and just saying, this was a great chat with the man, probably isn't going to get you any views. And you have to be conscious enough to be able to say that I'm not losing my integrity by taking that into consideration. I'm just being savvy in this process.
Yeah.
And making sure that you always can ask yourself that. That's what you do. You juggle.
Yeah.
You juggle both. Your individual, make Rob the best version of Rob, make Harry the best version of Harry, and then you juggle all of your common sense, all of your communication skills, all of your intuition. You have to juggle it. And those things are connected to what society needs or what you need from society in order to thrive. So you've got to juggle both.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm not, in other words, just to sum it up, I don't judge anyone. I did originally until I broke it down and had that introspection, but I don't judge anyone for putting outlandish statements up, like heated or fiery or just putting racist or whatever it is. They have to get views because that's a part of their agenda. That's what's keeping them alive. You cannot fault someone for that, right?
No.
It's only when they've just lost themselves in that conversation where it becomes an issue. So juggle the two. That's your long-winded answer to that question.
Yeah. Okay. So, who's hot right now that we should have on the show? You know, we want to stay relevant and interesting. We want to make sure that we're giving education, inspiration, and even a little bit of entertainment. Who should we be talking to?
Oh my God, that is such a good question.
We never actually asked this, really, Harry, do we? We should.
Who would I talk to?
We have some great conversations.
It depends on what you're... Right, so again, that's why my brain can't think of anyone. It depends on what you're trying to get. What's your agenda from these conversations that are potentially going to happen in the future? Not the agenda in terms of views. What's the agenda in terms of the level of conversation? Are you one of those people you don't mind it when the guest doesn't speak that much? Are you someone that
would need...
Okay, so then it depends on what it is that you're looking for. Is it like a deep conversation? Is it a financial conversation? That's what I would say. Because again, you're now leading with chicken and egg, what people want versus what does Rob want? And then Rob just leads with what Rob wants, but you take into consideration...
Yeah, well, if Rob just had what Rob wants, it would just be about heavy metal lead singers.
Oh, really, would it? So this is why you've got to take into consideration the needs of society. So I appreciate why you've asked that question. And for me personally,
what does everyone else want?
Yeah, it depends. Right, so we know currently the only things that people want right now is anything centered around the culture wars, hence why it's been making so much money.
Yeah.
And has been... it's just been the norm for so long because people are benefiting from it. Mm. So I'd be lying if I said that anyone within that space wouldn't be a good idea, because I know that that's what people are interested in. And then you can't beat a celebrity, hence why Piers goes there, right? You can't beat a celebrity. You get a big celebrity. I think you stick to, this is just pragmatism, nothing to do with
being an empathetic and emotional person. It's just straight pragmatism. You have a job to do. And so my advice would be you stick to this type of conversation in terms of understanding the world, understanding people, understanding dynamics, understanding why we do what we do, how things are governed. I find these conversations so fascinating. So I think that there is a definite space for that, especially due to the fact that one of my favorite, if not my favorite podcast, is Diary of a CEO. And it is the number one podcast in Europe, and it is grounded in conversations like this. So I think you stick to this ballpark, you're good to go. And then when you want to get a bit adventurous, you get yourself a big celebrity. I'd follow that routine.
All right, then. okay, so we do a quick fire round on the show.
Yeah.
For fun. Mm-hmm. I've just realised I do this all the time. It's rock.
Because it's a comfortable chair. It looks
is
like
bouncy,
a comfortable
this
chair.
One.
I can see it.
Wait, the Samuel Leeds face off. I was just... okay, so would you rather have £1 million cash or £1 million extra engaged followers on social media of your choice, and why?
Oh my God, cash. £1 million cash. Oh wow, because that would just set up my life. I could do the things that I need to do. And in terms of, again, focusing on me as the individual, it's about finding my stability and finding my safe space in terms of my life. And so I wouldn't get that from followers. I'd get that from money. So yeah. It'd be money.
Okay. Do you think money makes you happy?
To a degree.
What degree?
It gives you freedom, a sense of freedom. It allows for less worries, which again is a big issue for the working class. But in terms of, it does make you happy, but I think there is a distinction between happiness and fulfillment. And I think it's about making sure that there's a distinction. You can be happy because you were able to buy a car. You were happy because you were able to buy a boat. You're happy because you're sitting on your boat, but you may not be fulfilled after a certain amount of time because all you do is just sit on your boat.
Yeah.
Right? So I think there is a distinction between happiness and fulfillment. And I think it can give you happiness. And this is why I said to a degree, but can it give you fulfillment unless you find what it is that you are supposed to do in terms of purpose? I don't think it personally can. I know that right now, if I was to win 100 million, I would still be depressed. Fact.
Are you depressed now then?
Yeah.
Why?
What I have found is that I am an extremely deep person. That sounds really egotistical, but it's true. I think about things a lot. And I'm extremely spiritual. And I am someone who needs purpose.
Why are those things depressing?
Because if you're not there, it can lead to an emotion of discontentment.
If you're not where?
That place of, one, finding and being in the place that you're supposed to be. So when I talk about spirituality, I talk about purpose, right? I talk about knowing that I was born to do something. I'm here for a reason. And what's hard is doing what you need to do in order to fulfill that purpose, and then kind of struggling with your own issues of life and societal needs, whether it's a boyfriend, whether it's a house. Like a perfect example is, like, one of my biggest worries is how on earth will I ever buy myself a house? I don't want a flat. I wanted like a big house. You know, like when you were a kid, you got the dream of the big house. And the world that we're living in now, because of societal issues, trying to buy a house is a real issue. So that's a worry. And so I can be on the journey of fulfillment and trying to find my purpose, but then when I'm simultaneously worrying about will I ever be able to own my own house with 3 bedrooms, becomes an issue. So it's this interesting dichotomy of juggling me as the individual and making myself better and following my purpose, and then juggling societal needs, all the things that the institutions tell me I need to do. Get this, get that, you have a car, you have a mortgage, you have, right? Matrix. So I'm juggling the two, and it's very difficult because I have a deep brain and my brain doesn't want to juggle the societal bullshit expectations of the matrix. I don't want to do it. So
but you're in it, so you have no choice.
Exactly. So it's a weird contradiction because I'm saying categorically I don't want to enter the matrix. Getting a mortgage and getting a house is entering the matrix. But yet I know spiritually on a deeper level that's not what I'm supposed to do. So I am almost a walking contradiction.
Are you overthinking your life?
I wouldn't say overthinking. I'd definitely say introspection, which is, you could argue, is overthinking. But I think overthinking is associated with something negative. It has negative connotations.
But so does being saying you're depressed.
I think it does, 100%. I think when I think about my depression...
Do you just need to get laid? Is that like what we're saying here? Because sometimes people don't really talk about that, do they?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. That's probably something. Okay, fuck off, world. Okay? That's probably something.
But it sorts a lot of shit out. It really does.
I appreciate. Fuck off. You've got your wife. This is why you're smiling. You're perfectly fine. I'm a single lady over here.
Okay? Well, this is what I'm saying then.
I've been celibate for 10 years, so I'm.
No
actually...
wonder you're fucking depressed.
No way. Let me finish.
What sort of shit is that?
Let me finish.
You've been celibate for 10 years.
No, actually, that's a lie. I've had a break. Look at your face. You look mortified. Rob, you look mortified.
No wonder you're depressed.
I know. I do. That's why it resonated when you said, oh, maybe you just need to get laid. And I know he was making a sweeping comment, but secretly I was thinking, yes, Rob.
Yeah.
Yes.
It does sort a lot of shit out. It really does.
It's an ice bath. No, I have ice baths. I love ice
baths. Ice baths are great.
No, I know about an ice bath.
Celibate for 10 years. Come on.
No, it's longer than that. I started at 19. How old am I now? I'm 32. So...
13 years celibate.
Yeah. But I had a break. So I had a boyfriend and then I had a break. So I've been with two people in a 13-year period. Do I think that makes my life good? No, it fucking doesn't.
No.
So I do agree with you in terms of being late because I think that's another cog in the wheel, another aspect of life that isn't being fulfilled.
Yeah.
What is being fulfilled is educating people, inspiring people, like trying to... add value to the world, that's being fulfilled. But there are all these other parts of my life will that
aren't. No wonder you're attracting weak men.
This is why I'm talking about.
You're just thinking, you said you're attracting weak men.
I get both.
But if you're celibate, the message you're putting out there is,
oh, I need
strong men can piss off because you're not. Harry, we're going to have quite a fun conversation on that.
No, I attract both. Wait, first and foremost, I attract... every type of man you can possibly think of, and that is genuinely true.
We'll take you out on a date,
right? Take me out and hope that a man gets laid in the night.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. That sounds like a fun time. I've actually had this conversation with many people over the years. Thank you so much.
And you just keep.
And I just don't do it because again, it's just this thing of I'm a deep person, and I know that I'm very much just focused on me and in terms of my purpose, and then. To educating people, and I think that's where my brain kind of just stopped functioning.
Wow.
Like you know, when you just prioritize certain things,
yeah,
and it's those are the only two things that I've basically prioritized in the last 13 years, trying to find myself and my purpose, and then fulfilling.
But you know, you were talking earlier about nuance and balance, weren't you?
Yeah.
So why do you have to sacrifice? Sorry if you feel this has turned into a therapy session.
No, I love it.
Tell me
I love
piss
it.
Off because we're going to.
I don't have a therapist either, so please.
Oh, okay, we're going to go and have Thai food straight after this before we go back. But yeah, why does I about 3 years ago, I had a few things going on in my life which weren't great, and I got a therapist, and she said to me that, you know, when there's like. Three or more main areas of your life that are all not going well that can lead to depression and suicidal ideation. But if you really just fix one or two of them, can give you some momentum.
No, and that's a lie because that's exactly where I'm at right now.
It's
a lie because my
need a good dinner and a good fuck. That's what you need.
I do need those things.
You do.
I need those things. No, I'm not disputing that point. Okay, I'm genuinely not disputing that point. We can concede on that point. Iman needs to get laid, but. There's more to it than that. It's not just
there is, but I don't know that you're depressed. I don't buy it. I think
why?
Because you've got good energy. And you're a fun-spirited person.
It's a genuine depression I've
always had throughout my life. So it's not I'm an entitled young millennial Gen Z and I feel depressed about life. No, like we've heard that kind of rhetoric. It genuinely is something that has followed me for a very long time because I realized that I was a deep person and I needed fulfillment and I find my fulfillment.
Do you feel misunderstood then? Do you feel misunderstood? Often deep thinkers feel misunderstood. People don't understand them.
100%. In terms of me, yes, misunderstood. 1,000,000%. In terms of me, is that not what I say.
Are you letting people close enough to understand you though?
No, I don't let people in. I'm very, like, I hate social media because again, that leads too much on the ego spectrum. So I don't do social media. I don't show people my life. This is actually the most candid I've been about myself in the last 3 years. I keep myself to myself. I'm an extroverted introvert, which people don't realise. Is that what's the word?
Ambivert.
You learn something new every day.
You can be an introvert or extrovert. Situation dependent, which I am as well. When I meet people a lot, I get like you. I get recognised quite a lot, and I find it really awkward to talk to people. Yeah. But then when we're in these situations, I can sort of come to life.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. Okay. So. Right, what other questions do we do on the quick? Oh, yeah. What's your biggest mistake, would you say?
Oh, my gosh, my biggest mistake. Okay, so this is what's interesting because everything, and I appreciate that question. I've always appreciated when people say, what's your biggest mistake? But everything that I've done has got me here.
And boring!
So, no, but it's the truth.
Boring!
Okay, right, no, it's the truth. I will expand.
All right, then what's your biggest regret? Oh, I don't regret anything.
Oh,
because it just makes you who you are.
No, not fucking for 13 years. That's my biggest regret. Genuinely, regularly fucking. Like, I don't understand why I did that to myself. Because in hindsight, I'm like, wow, you were a crackhead. Why did you just stop having sex? Yeah. But what happens is once you pass like a 5-year mark and then it gets to 6 years and then it becomes your norm. And so I'd start laughing right now. If someone wants to touch my vagina, I'd probably laugh, Rob, because it's been such a long time. I am just this situation. That's your answer.
I probably laugh.
That's the truth. I'm actually being so fucking honest right now. I probably shouldn't be so honest, but it's the truth. I probably laugh.
We know some cool people. We just need to set you up. We do.
Iman's single. You can put that on the thumbnail.
Iman's
looking for
lurking.
A man. Iman A and B Lem organizer is looking for a man. Hey, people. Yeah. Call Rob or Harry.
Oh, if we matchmake you up, how cool would that be?
Could you imagine? Well, he needs to be, what's the best line?
He's got to have his own balls, not in someone else's handbag.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which, that's going to be hard for you to find, Rob, genuinely. You think you're going to find that man? Yeah. All right, good luck.
I think we can do that. Okay, then. What's the most brutal life lesson that you've had?
To lead with ego will fuck up your shit. To solely lead in just the land of ego will fuck up your shit. That was my first ever life lesson. Like, first ever, when I was like 6.
Wow. And what one thing are you most excited about and also most scared about right now in the world?
Something that I am most excited about and scared about in the world. This new sense of consciousness and awareness that we have. Because again, it can be weaponized and it can be used to do so much damage. It's only when it is used wisely, we can make progression. But as we know, if you weaponize people's newfound sense of consciousness, you can make a lot of money off of it. Mm. And you can take people off on a complete different tangent. So that would be the biggest thing, is that, yeah.
This show's called Disruptors. What does the word disruptive mean to you?
Leader.
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 Yeah. And where can we follow you if we want to go out on a date with Iman and break the 13-year duck?
I told you I had 2 breaks. Fuck off. You've got to make sure. Be accurate. I had
but
2
you
breaks.
Said it.
I had 2 breaks, though. It's a 13-year period.
Yeah.
I had 2 breaks. It's not just straight cobwebs, okay, Rob? I had 2 breaks. Fuck off. I had 2 breaks. But yeah, I don't have sex outside a relationship. It's just not my norm. And my biggest regret was that I decided to be that way in the first place. I should have just been fucking over the last 13 years. From 19 to 32, not fucking. I don't know why I did that to myself, but I've done it now and I'm just kind of stuck in that rut.
Yeah. All right then, so where can we follow you then?
Yeah, that was your question. I do apologize, I keep telling you about my vagina and sex life. This is what happens. You opened Pandora's box. Okay, where can you find me? So, website, imanaiton.com.
Yeah.
Instagram, imanaiton.
It's been a pleasure.
Hello, it really has.